I'm back. Yeah, I just heard that. Yeah. Some of you probably didn't even notice this, which is fine because I'm not that big of a deal. But I just got back from like a 5-week sabbatical, and I just want to thank the church so much for that. I want to thank you for that. It was just a wonderful time of relaxing and going to the beach, watching a little bit of baseball, relaxing, sleeping in. I've never taken more than like a week vacation at a time. I will never do that again. It has to be a minimum of 2 weeks now. It has to be a minimum of 2 weeks. So I just want to encourage you to do that, okay? Yeah, I'm here to help. That's your public service announcement for today. If you are new here, I just want to welcome you all. My name is John Cook, and I am the pastor of care and counseling here on our campus. And for those that are in Fredericksburg, loud shout out to you guys. Welcome. Come on. It was, yeah, okay. And for those of you that are online, so excited for you all to be with us. We're going to finish up our series that we've been doing. We've been doing a little play on words here. It's been Summer at the Mount, and it's a little play on words in that we have been looking at and spending the last, I think it's about 7 weeks, 8 weeks, on the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And when we started this off, I got a great opportunity to start this series off, and I challenged you all at that time to read the Sermon on the Mount every day from start to finish, 3 chapters, 5, 6, and 7, every day while we do the sermon or while we do the series. And I hope some of you have done that. I hope a number of you have at least read through it a number of times over the course of the last few weeks, because I think it's super important that we have a good, solid foundation of this, because one, it's one of the longest lessons that we have of Jesus, but also it is, I think, the heart of everything that Scripture talks about. I believe that it points back to and helps define better a little bit on a meta-narrative of what the Old Testament is all about, but also what we see is the New Testament is doing a lot of teaching back towards these 3 chapters of Jesus. And over the course of the last few weeks, we've looked at a number of things, and kind of the real heart of this entire sermon that Jesus taught, these series of lessons that he taught to not only his disciples that were there with him, but those in earshot with him. And I think the heart of it was that it was chapter 5, verse 20, that is how we have it in our scripture. But Jesus said, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not have a place in the kingdom of heaven. And that is kind of a scary thought. But what Jesus is saying is, and what he's really trying to get for us, and even this last section here, is we need to get to the intent and the heart of what God instructed from the Old Testament, and not the letter of law, the letter of the law. This is where we get stuck, is that we look at it very figurative in this, and we're looking for the letter of the law. And I think one of the things that we like to do, show me the line that I can go up to, okay? And if you give me the line, then I will stand right there. I will have my toes right in front of that line, but I don't ever want to step over that line. Does that make sense? Am I the only one that does life like that or has done life like that? All right, some of y'all are lying. You're just lying, lying. Revelation 21:8, liars go to hell. No, okay, here we go. Good morning. I've had 2 cups of coffee and 1 power bar. What could possibly go wrong today? Okay, here we go. Yeah, all right, yeah. I think it's so important that we look at this because without this, what we do is we will try to then create our own and use our own intellect and rely upon things that we believe. And what we end up doing is we kind of start taking, I heard this when I was in school, best friend sat next to me. You've heard me talk about Duncan. But he preached one time, says, woe to those who make scripture like a buffet. And I was like, dude, that's pretty good. He goes, think about it. A buffet, we get to pick and choose We don't have to put everything on our plate, but Scripture tells us, you know, we can't use Scripture as a buffet. We have to use what it says and not create our own ideas. Does that make sense? You guys with me? Okay. All right. So that's a lot of the background. I want to give you a little insight, and this is going to be the scary part of today's sermon, okay, is that I want to give you a little insight into the way that I think in my brain. Come on, I set that one up on a T. Somebody should have, yeah, okay. I don't like a lot of choices. And this normally plays out in with my family. It's kind of funny. If I pull into a parking lot and there are a lot of parking spots, I don't know where to park. And my wife's like, just pick a spot. I'm like, I know. And it's a very nerve-wracking thing. This is the dumbest thing ever, okay? Yeah, just pick a spot. And I'm like, well, that spot's pretty good, but then that spot's really good. That one's really nice. They've got really good white lines. Yeah. And my wife's like, just park the car. And I'm like, okay, so I'll do that. Another thing, and you guys know this, in regards to food, all right, there's a list of foods that are very important to me. And as I was reminded this morning, you better put Jesus on that because he is the bread of life. Okay, I was like, okay. So Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is number one, okay? Number two are cinnamon rolls, all right? Number three is ice cream, all right? I went to okay, was that good? I went to the ice cream place over here, the new one, Cold Stone. Is that what it is? Cold Stone, okay. I love me some ice cream. And my go-to is cake batter. So if I get too many options, I go to the default because I'm old, okay? Old, I have this aversion to taking risk the older that I get. Unlike when I was a teenager, I was like, what could possibly go wrong? Let's go, all right? See, I've made those decisions, what could possibly go wrong, and as I've gotten older, I've realized, oh, there's a lot of things that could go wrong. So, okay, yeah. But over there at Cold Stone, there were so many choices, and I didn't want to just go to my complete default. And so I asked the lady behind the counter, I said, I want something with cake batter. And she goes, got it. And she made me this cake batter reload thing. I would never have chose it because there was too many options, okay? Way too many options. I was just, oh, give me the cake batter with cookie dough mixed in, okay? I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how many options now. I'm going to have this cake batter reload every time now, okay? So, but understand this. We have choices. There are so many. The reason why I'm talking about this is one thing I want you guys to think about and kind of keep in your mind. There's choices in everything that we do. And there really is, if we boil things down to, I mean, some very rudimentary things, we got two choices, yes or no, okay? And I believe that the older that I get, also, I think things are not as gray as they used to be. I think things are more black and white, if that makes sense, all right? There's certain things that I think are still gray, but in regards to spiritual things, I think it's much easier for me to say, you know what, yeah, okay? Does that make sense? You guys with me? Stay with me. Okay. All right. We are, as Jesus finishes this whole section out, I want you to think of that. There's choices. Because he's going to finish out this section. There's four specific stories, four specific examples that Jesus is going to talk about after he's laid out all this groundwork, okay, of that our life, our ethics, the way we live, has to be completely countercultural, all right? Remember he said, and it was Jesus in his authoritative tone that he used, you have heard it said, but I'm telling you, but I tell you. You look at someone lustfully, you have committed adultery, all right? You have heard it say eye for an eye, but Jesus says, I tell you, go the extra mile with an enemy, okay? These things are so countercultural in everything that Jesus is talking about. But he's going to wrap this all up, and he said, listen, you got a choice. You got a choice on how you're going to live, and I'm going to give you four examples that he gives. And the first one, Jesus says, I'm in Matthew chapter 7. If you guys are following along, we're going to start in verse 13. Jesus first starts off, and he's going to talk these four choices. He's going to talk about the gates or a path that you can choose. Second one is he's going to talk about two different types of trees. He's going to talk about two different types of people that go about and do things. And then the last thing, he's going to talk about two types of builders or two types of foundations that people will build upon. Okay? And so the first one Jesus talks about, he says, listen, enter through the narrow gate. It's going to be up on the screens on the side. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Now, I will tell you, I think that the more that we go on, and you guys, many of you are going to be very, very familiar with some of these little comparisons. But what I love about this is, or maybe it's just me, all right, but I know it's not me. I know it's not me. But it seems like this idea of the narrow path and the narrow gate, that is getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and people are choosing the wider and the wider and the wider. You all familiar with the kid's story? I think it was one of those fables about the emperor has no clothes on. Okay? I swear we're living in those times right now, because what used to be folly is now wisdom, and what was used to be wisdom is now folly. And there's so many things I'm looking at. I'm like, does no one realize that the emperor has no clothes on? Have we lost the path to the narrow gate and the narrow road, and we're willing to accept, I mean, just crazy? And Jesus is saying, listen, you have a choice. You can choose the way of the world, okay? It's super easy. It's super easy to do the way of the world. Or you can choose what I'm talking. And what Jesus is saying, I mean, this is countercultural. I'm asking you, if you really want to be in the kingdom of heaven, if you want your righteousness to surpass that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, if you want to enter, live in, and live eternally in the kingdom of heaven, guess what? These are some choices you got to make. This is a choice you got to make. You can live in the world, or you can live by this. And let's face it, Jesus' very first teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? That we empty ourselves and we say, it's not about me, it's all about you, Jesus. That's a hard lesson. Because everything in us says, no, it's all about self-preservation. But Jesus is saying, it's not about you, it's about God the Father, and it's about relationship with others and with God. That's what it is. And for you to get there, we got to empty ourselves first so that we can enter into relationship with God, so that I can enter into relationship with other people. You guys with me so far? Stay in? Okay. All right. So he's saying, you know, choose what path. What path are you going to choose? You're going to choose the narrow one, or you're going to choose the wide one? There's a great book that came out a number of years ago by Andy Stanley. Whatever you think about Andy Stanley, that's up to you, okay? I love this book. And the illustration that he gives is whatever path we choose, it's going to take us to its logical destination. The illustration that I've given before, and I use this in counseling all the time, well, what path are you on? And this is the deal. I may want to go to Key West, Florida. With every fiber of my body, I want to get to Key West, Florida. And I hop in my car, and I choose to get on the path of 95 North. I can drive that thing with all the earnestness and all the intent and the desire to end up on the sunny beaches of Key West, Florida. Having a big old honking, this is probably number 7 on the list, piece of key lime pie, okay? But if I stay on 95 North, I'm eating buffalo wings in Buffalo, New York, okay? Actually, I think it'll take me west, but you guys get the point, okay? Yeah. The path that I choose will take me to the destination the path is designed to take me to. If I'm going to take the narrow path, if I'm going to take the path of following Jesus, then I will find everything that I've ever wanted, and that is life, and life in abundance, not only here in this life, but in the life to come. But if I choose another path, it will take me to where that path is designed to take me. Jesus gives another example in verses 21 through 23. Excuse me, I'm a little ahead of myself here. 15 to 20, he's going to give the example of two trees and two fruit-bearing trees. He said, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. I love this. And if you don't have this highlighted, underlined in your Bible or in the app, I want to encourage you guys to do this. Verse 16, by their fruit you will recognize them. By their fruit, by our fruit, by other people's fruit, we will be identified. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Twice, Jesus says, it is by our actions. What people see in us. Now, I will tell you, as a person who really thrives on the approval of other people, of being a people person, I can make choices that are not only the narrow, that is not the narrow path, but it is also behavior that starts producing ugly fruit. See, when we start relying on our own intellect and think about it's just about what I do and I just have to put on a good facade, I am in danger. We are in danger. And the fruit that we really produce will be what we're measured by. We know this one. Talk is cheap. Jesus is looking for people who are really earnestly doing for the kingdom of heaven. Third example Jesus gives, he's going to talk about, well, let's just dive in. These doers. Not everyone who says to me, now this one, I got to be honest with you, this one scares the fool out of me. At least it did for a number of years, okay? I'm at verses 21 through 23, chapter 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will inherit the kingdom of heaven. But only, and again, this is one of those things, highlight, underline, score it, write it in purple, I don't care what you do, okay? But only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Does that frighten anyone? Keep in mind, Jesus is comparing us in many ways to the religious leaders at the time, okay? And he's laying this out, and he's giving, here, we have a choice. We can be individuals who are in it for just ourselves, or we can be individuals who are in it for the kingdom of heaven. And those of us that are who are in it for the kingdom of heaven, I don't think that this passage applies to us, but if we're in it just for ourselves, then I think this passage should strike a chord of fear within us. This idea of being cast outside to stand in front of Jesus and said, man, I did a whole bunch of stuff. You know, I volunteered at the church and I did all this and I tithed kind of and you know, I read my, yeah. And Jesus goes, I, you know, I, really don't know you, because we never really trusted him. And again, this is so many, there's so many layers in this that that we need to unpack, but this is the gist. We've got to be discerning. We have to discern not only others, but maybe most importantly, we need to discern ourselves. God, reveal in me, talk to me, show me the areas where I'm in this all for me instead of for you. God, in my fears and my insecurities, in my desires and my hopes, and me wanting to be approved by others or to appear some specific way or whatever the hurt, whatever it is that's doing it, God, discern in me. Give me eyes to see myself. And if I can't see it in myself, then you ready for this? God, allow somebody to point out my blind spot. Ouch. 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 But I want my righteousness to surpass that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And so Jesus is going to finish this up. We've got these three great illustrations that he's given to, these choices. We've got a choice. And now he's going to really lay it on the line. He says, therefore, verse 24. And remember, therefore is kind of a summary. Everything I just talked about before, I'm going to bring it all together. Therefore, Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. And it fell with a great crash. We have a choice of the foundation in which we're going to build our life and our faith on. What foundation are you going to choose? I will tell you, for a number of years, I chose sand. And dag nabbit, if the winds and the rain didn't come, and it got blown away, praise God. And there are still decisions that I have made over the years where I try to put an expansion on my house and I build it on sand. And it gets blown away. But the part of me that is on the rock stands. Matthew 23, Jesus goes into a litany of just blasting the Pharisees. I love it. He keeps on getting tested by them over and over and over again. And finally, he just says, and you'll probably, some of you are going to be familiar with this, but you can go to Matthew 23, and he talks about, I think it's seven times he calls them hypocrites, the religious leaders. Three times he calls them blind or blind guides. One time, he really lays it on the line. He says, you snake, you brood of vipers. I mean, he lays it out for them. See, they built their house on the sand, and that was all built on their expectations of who God is and their expectations of the Messiah. And they built it on their intellect, and they built it on their own rules, and they built it on their own laws, laws that God didn't even give them. But they built it all up on themselves, and they said that they placed themselves in the forefront of God. And now what's happening is there is this crash that is happening, because when Jesus comes on the scene and he begins to teach things that are completely opposite, They don't know what to do. They're frightened. They're threatened, and they're looking for a way to kill him, to get out of it, instead of making a change. Therefore, Jesus says, what is your foundation? See, the foundation that we choose will carry us on to obedience or destruction. The foundation that we choose will carry us on to obedience or destruction. We're going to wrap this up. We're going to take the Lord's Supper here in just a few moments. But I want to remind you of this. Some of you are very familiar with it. Some of it, this may be the first time you've ever heard of this. But in John chapter 14, it's the night that Jesus has been betrayed. He is on the verge of being arrested. Within hours, he will be severely flogged. And within 12 hours, roughly, he will have died. And he's telling his disciples, listen, I'm going away. And where I'm going, you guys can't go. And they're missing the point. And basically, he's telling them, I am going to die. And Thomas, poor Thomas, he gets such a bad rap in Scripture, but I really do like Thomas, probably because I resonate with him and Peter, because they're both kind of knuckleheads, so I resonate with the two of them. But Thomas says, we don't even know where you're going. We don't even know the way. And Jesus says, and you guys have probably heard of this, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, Jesus gives us choices. He gives us a choice to accept him or to reject him. Some will tell you that that is exclusivity. That Christianity and that Jesus, it can't be true. Because there's only one way. Where the world says, oh, there's so many different ways to God. That is the wide path. That is a house that is built on sand. That is fruit that does not last. See, Jesus doesn't make it exclusive. He makes it so simple for us. He makes it easy for us because he knows, I don't want you to have to guess at what's right and what's wrong or which way you're supposed to go and what you're supposed to do. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's not exclusivity. It's ease. I need to be very clear with you. I'm the way, and we have a choice. Do I accept it, or do I reject it? I have a choice on what path I get on. I have a choice on what's most important to me. Is it the applause of men and others? Or is it to hear the words from God, well done, good and faithful servant? I want the latter. With the former, but I would really like the latter. Does that make sense? Father God, I come to you. And this has been a difficult but exciting series. Because everything that you have taught us in this is so, it just flies in the face of everything that the world tells us and even the things that we've witnessed just in the last 2 weeks. God, may we not choose the way of the world, but may we choose you. Lord, areas where we need discernment, of others, but also discernment within ourselves. Would you give that to us? God, may we not be mistaken. You have made the choice very easy that it is through you that we can have life with the Father, not only in this life, but the one to come. God, my prayer is that each of us will choose you. Lord, I know that there are some people here that may not have chosen you for whatever reason. They've been doing a combination of different things and kind of walking a different path and maybe walking on the narrow one every once in a while, but get distracted. And some of us just want to be with you so much, but we've stayed on a path that will never bring us to you. Today, God, would you place within their heart that desire to get on your path? May the foundation that all of us build upon going forward from this day may be the foundation of the rock, which is Jesus Christ, the cornerstone in which everything is built. And God, if there is anybody here this morning that within the sound of my voice has not accepted you as Lord and Savior, God, would you be there with them and would you encourage them? And I know that you are knocking God, may the door be open. May they confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that you are Lord. If that is you today, I'm going to ask that you would say this very simple prayer. Just say it to yourself. God, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I am asking you to save me. God, I know my sins are great, but you have overcome those sins. God, fill me that I may be new and begin to grow in you, because you are the way, the truth, and the life. And I pray this in Jesus' name.